Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Right now, I'm talking with a dude named Knox Colby. He is a singer of a band called Enforced from Richmond, Virginia. Is that right?
Yes.
Richmond. Are you at home right now in Richmond?
No, I'm on a job right now.
Hopped in the
van to talk to you.
Sounds good, man. What's your normie job? What's your day job?
I actually started my own business at the beginning of this year. I do handyman work and home repair, apartment repair, building supervision, stuff like that.
Wow!
So I'm power washing this massive driveway right now. It's taken me a lot longer than I thought it would. Yeah, I probably still have another 2 hours to go, and I'm so wet and so cold. It's not a good day.
Damn. Okay. So I appreciate you taking time out of this long, arduous task to chat about the record.
My knees really deserve the break, so thank
there
you.
There you go. Okay, so it's been a while. You know, we talked in the lead up to Killgrid, and you have a new album. Definitely should mention that. The new album is called War Remains on Century Media, your second on Century Media. And you guys dropped Killgrid kind of in the middle of the pandemic in the beginning. What was that? Was that difficult to kind of promote that record amidst the pandemic, or did you guys try as hard as you could?
It got pushed back like three times.
Oh, wow.
So it was supposed to originally come out in the summer of 2020, but it ended up coming out in March of 2021. Mm-hmm. I think I got pushed back like four times. I think it just caused a little bit more hype, I guess, because everyone was waiting so long for it. And then when the singles really, you know, started churning out and stuff in December and stuff, everyone knew like, okay, it's finally coming out. And our fan base, you know, like skyrocketed from that record. I mean, we've done so much with that record. That really opened a lot of doors for us in terms of like tours and shows and festivals and stuff like that. So I'm glad it came out when it needed to be. So in retrospect, I'm not mad about it at all.
That's awesome. Our first conversation, we kind of talked a little bit about how you kind of came from hardcore, and, you know, on Century Media right now, there's quite a bit of kind of hardcore and metal crossover. You know, you got bands like Frozen Soul, got bands like Senga Sugabog, you got Enforced. You know, is that all kind of a coincidence, or seems like there's like a hardcore death metal, you know, tag team taking over Century Media? It's pretty badass.
Yeah, I think you just recognize that that some of the younger bands are really pushing to do, you know, pushing to do go bigger and pushing to do more and pushing to really, I don't know, what's a good word? Just be on the road and to promote in kind of a newer social media client or like atmosphere than maybe some of the older roster, and they can, you know, excite new people, get new fans, and get a whole new, you know, groundswell type of people into Century Media, who probably weren't, you know, familiar with it before.
Sure. Cool, man. Well, so tell me a little bit about like the new record. Again, it's called War Remains. Tell me a little bit about like how long did you guys take to work on it? And you guys, you know, take some time. You probably had to take some time off of work. How long did you guys, you know, focus on recording and writing?
Recording took about a week.
Okay.
So that wasn't that big of a deal. We were in between tours. We did it in between the At the Gates tour and the Slave to the Grave tour. So we did it in September. I mean, with scheduling and stuff, it wasn't like a solid week. It was like day here, day there, but I think total, not even a week of time. We just kind of came, conquered, and went with it. I mean, we've been writing it since Killgrid. We never stopped writing. And so, I mean, a lot of the arrangements are way different than they originally were. I found in my Google Drive all the demos of maybe like three or four of the songs, and they're so unbelievably different to the point where it's just like, I've never heard this song before in my life, and it bangs. And then the only part that I recognize is like the last 10 seconds. You're just like, oh, that's the riff from this song. Now that's the main riff for a song, and they just scrapped everything else. So, but I mean, these recordings are, you know, 2-3 years old. So, yeah, it's just cool to kind of go back into the memory bank and just see how much everything's progressed. I mean, Will, Zach, and Alex write every Thursday. And wow. I think it, regardless, like, they may not every now and then, but that's up to them. But I think they've been writing every Thursday for forever. So I think, I mean, even though War Remains is done, they've said that they already have 4 songs for the next album done, because War Remains has been written since June.
Yeah.
Just probably around Europe when we went to Europe. So they've been writing ever since then, and you know, they're pretty confident in everything. So I haven't heard them yet, so maybe they suck, I don't know.
I talked to some artists and they're like, man, you know, this album's not even out yet and we're tired of it.
Yeah.
Hope you're not tired of the record yet.
No, I'm not. I'm super excited. I will say Alex and Zach have another band, this like DB crust band called Destruct.
Sick.
They just put out their second LP, but that second LP has been shelved for I think a year and a half.
Holy crap.
So before their second LP even came out, they recorded their third LP.
Wow.
So they're like backlogged now that like they're going to have to be playing that second LP that they really don't give it out.
That's
for a while.
That's so
luckily we don't have that problem, but I mean, Zach is a force to reckon with when it comes to writing riffs. Like he has a near infinite arsenal of killer riffs. If you've never listened to Destruct, please check them out. I think their newest album is called Prize the Mocking Mother Nature or something like that.
It's very metal.
It's dope. It's super punk.
You casually mentioned like, you're like, yeah, just on the At the Gates tour. Like, okay. So At the Gates, what was that like touring with those legends? That's insane. Oh, and awesome.
What do you think? it was a wild time. I mean, granted, it was only like 12 days, Because, I mean, they did that Slaughtering of the Soul tour. That thing was streamlined. They hit, I guess they would technically do a full U.S., at least from West Coast to East Coast in 2 weeks, yeah. Which is, you're skipping a lot of places, but you're hitting a lot of big ones. So all those shows were huge. Most of them, if not all of them, were sold out. It was a wild ass time. I mean, we're homies with everybody in Municipal Waste, so that was fun to pal around the country again with them. And meeting, you know, Tomas and everybody from At the Gates was really cool. I mean, those are some serious veterans. And yeah, it was nice to meet new people and get a different perspective on a lot of things. They were, by the end of it, they were Enforce fans. That's nice.
That's so dumb.
Yeah, we met them at, they played the same stage as us at Hellfest, and I was like, well, I know we're going to do that tour. Might as well introduce myself. Mm-hmm. So I met them backstage, and they were like, "Oh, dude, you guys were fucking killer earlier." I was just like, "You watched us?" I was at like noon. It was like 10 hours ago.
Why? You should be in bed.
Yeah, what are you doing, man? But no, they're like, "No, that was an awesome set. We can't wait to tour together." And it was a killer 2 weeks, man. I can't, nothing to really say.
It's awesome, man. So yeah. Municipal Waste, you guys are, Municipal Waste, you guys are like brothers as far as the Richmond thing. You know, I just saw that Guar is going to be going out on tour with Mudvayne. So there's got the Guar, we got the Lamb of God, you know, the Richmond, Virginia, man. And of course, Avail was doing tons of stuff and is back at it. Yeah. Man, and it's something in the water, dude. The Richmond, I would love to be sometime. And then Down to Nothing, killer band.
Yeah, down at DTN for sure.
Mutually Assured Destruction.
MAD, Killing Pace, Blazing Tomb. I mean, what's another one? Division of Mind. I mean, just killer bands. I think it's the brain-eating amoebas in the water that really, really fuck up everyone's head and draws them towards aggressive and intense music.
Nice, man. So you're smoking a stogie. You ever think about switching to vape, or are you just like, nah, man?
Nah, I've tried it. I hate it. It doesn't do what I want it to do.
Fair enough.
A lot of people in the band are like huge vape fiends.
Sure.
And I just can't. Yeah, I can't. I can't get behind it. I mean, y'all can do whatever you want to do. I'm not gonna judge, but not my scene. I'll do it the OG way.
I got a t-shirt. It was a Metallica shirt, and it was Metallica, but it was in the Marlboro font. And I was like, that's old school, dude. It was pretty funny. Yeah, of course, right? So
Okay, do they even smoke? That's so weird.
I know. They probably used to. You guys ever, you ever see, you know, traveling, you know, around the world, you ever see an Enforced bootleg?
Yeah, all the time.
Really?
Go on eBay. Every single one on eBay is a bootleg. They're just slight variations in the design.
Okay.
That you're just like, we didn't make that. Like, we only have done one design that had our actual faces on it. Mm-hmm. And I went on eBay looking for something, and it popped up as like, hey, you might like this. And it was a picture with all of our faces on it. And like the logo was like up here and had all this weird. And I was just like, what the fuck is this? I think the first time I noticed we got a bootleg is someone was making bootleg patches in Kazakhstan. So I bought one.
Oh.
And pretty good quality patch. So can't knock it. I mean, it's an iron on, so
I don't know how long it's gonna last. Honor to being bootlegged. I know it's a terrible thing.
I think so.
But like, you haven't made it to your bootleg, right?
Yeah, someone put enough time and effort into trying to rip me off. I mean, that's pretty cool. Like, no one's tried to work me that hard before.
Yeah,
that's pretty sick. I've never done anything worth being bootlegged, so I think that's pretty sick.
I remember.
I mean, like, stop. But I'm not gonna force you to stop.
Right. I remember seeing a like a picture that Toby from H2O, he posted, they had played down in Mexico City, and there was like some like bootleg mall outside of their show, and there was tons of H2O merch. And he was like, dude, yeah, I just bought all these sick H2O shirts. They have better stuff than us.
Yeah. I can't remember.
Did the same thing, I think.
Yeah, Gate Creeper. I was talking to Eric about their first time in Mexico. He's like, dude, it's nuts. Like, the bootlegging is insane. But also kind of cool. I don't know. Like, I have like conflicting ideas on it. You're just like, I'd like for you to buy mine.
Sure.
But because I need the money to get home or to the next show. But also, that's a lot of money you put into into ripping me off. So I don't know. Go with God, man. I hope it works out.
Go with God. So we're talking about t-shirts. You're wearing an Undeath 200 stab wound shirt. If you're not watching the video and you're just hearing the audio, he's wearing this really cool kind of, you know, it kind of almost looks like a Pen and Pixel No Limit or like a 3-6 Mafia kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
Album cover. If you suddenly had to run from your house, and I'm not putting that on you, just something happens and you got to pick one t-shirt that you're going to save. What's your all-time favorite t-shirt that you own?
I usually give them all away.
Really?
So, yeah. Because, I mean, if we're on tour all the time, I buy as much merch as I can.
Yeah.
Or can afford. So when I get home, like, because I just, you know, I'll sweat through something or I'll leave it at a venue or something like that. And then the next day, I'm like, I need a shirt. So I'll grab one from the merch booth or buy one from one of the other bands that we're playing with or something. And, at the end of the tour, I end up with like this one. It's like I ended up with 3 Undeath shirts, 3 200 stab wound shirts, I think 4 Phobophilic shirts.
Wow.
And it's just like, I can't, like, and I get home and, you know, my drawers are full of black t-shirts. And it's like, well, I guess we got to cycle the old ones out. So I don't really have anything of like insane personal value. I would say it doesn't really fit all that well, but I do like it. Are you familiar with Self-Defense Family?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got the long sleeve Garfield shirt.
Oh, yeah.
On the sleeves, it says no posers, no frauds.
Nice.
Probably that.
Okay, nice, man. There you go. And then
it's the first one that comes to mind.
You know? No posers, no frauds. And hey, that's a good statement. At least you got. So you're going to save that one. So you're not a t-shirt hoarder. You're just like, just purge them all. Just got to get rid of this.
I buy and support the people that I'm with and that I love, and I support my friends. And then once I give them the money, it might as well be a rag. Like, it doesn't really matter. It just doesn't, I don't think too hard about it. And if someone like really, really wants it, well, I'll, you know, donate them all to the local record store and he can sell them for $5, $10 or whatever.
At Vinyl.
Vinyl Conflict.
Vinyl Conflict. Yeah, I follow that guy on Instagram. He's got a great store. Never been there.
Yeah, I give him trash bags full of merch.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Just keep it going.
Is it difficult to, you know, so we started this interview, you're talking about, you know, you're hard at work at your day job, which is your own business. You're a business owner. And then you're also, you know, a musician who's going out to, you know, on a big label, a big metal label. Is it difficult to balance those two things?
I haven't had to balance much yet, considering that we haven't gone on tour yet, but not this year, at least. It was easy to balance when I had a job.
Yeah.
Because the job I had was extremely supportive and enforced, so I could leave whenever I wanted.
Yeah.
And as long as I could be get contacted during the day, then that's all that really mattered. Yeah. And I could go for, you know, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, whatever. But then we got back from Europe, that company got bought by a different company and they were not cool with it.
They're not down.
Yeah. So right before we went on the Slave to the Grave tour, I got fired on Halloween. So the whole time we were on tour, I'm like, what the hell am I going to do? What am I going to do? And ultimately, I just like, you know what? cross that bridge when you get home. You're ruining your time on this tour.
You're out on like the best tour right now.
Yeah, for real. I'm out with like with good friends and good people. Yeah. And me, you know, constantly just being in my head about something, worry, like taking worry, borrowing worry from the future. Excuse me. That's the phrase.
Yeah.
Wasn't conducive. So I was just like, you know what? When you've got the time to think about it, when you get home and you've got nothing to do, and all the time to think about it, do it then. Don't do it right now. So, you know, I thought, well, no one's going to hire me because I'm going to be gone for, you know, 4 months out of the year. So I guess it's up to myself to make my own money. So that's why I decided to make my own business.
Congratulations, man. I mean, you're a business owner in two rights. You know, you guys are.
Yeah, you know. I own. I'm a partner in one LLC and I own another LLC. So it's just it can be mind numbing at times with all the responsibilities and stuff like that. But it's ultimately like the most rewarding thing I've ever done, bar none. Like,
congratulations.
I would much rather do this than anything else. Yeah. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
That's awesome, man. Okay. So, you know, when you're having a stressful day, like when you're out on the road and you're stressing, or, you know, during the height of pandemic, you know, and things were getting pushed back and all these things, and you're having a crappy day, what's an album that you can reach for, that can, you know, bring either your vibe up, can calm you down, can, you know, whatever mood it gets you in, put in a go-to album. What's one of those for you?
Huey Lewis, Sports.
Okay.
That's a good one. That really knocks you. That will take you out of any most things. Whatever Doobie Brother albums that has What a Fool Believes on it, that is the greatest way to start your day, is that song. I've never had a bad day when I listen to that song. Like turning the key, getting in the car, you know, driving to a job or whatever. Put on What a Fool Believes and you're going to have a good day. Let's see, if I'm feeling like really jacked up, I don't know, like when I feel down, or maybe you can relate to this, when I feel down, I kind of want to make myself feel worse. Okay. Ever felt like that?
Yeah.
So I listen to a lot of Swans.
Wow. That is set. Quite possibly just the most depressing and heavy music.
Yeah, I just dig the hole even deeper sometimes the great effect. I mean, that's usually like when I write lyrics and stuff is when I feel
you
like
kind of wallow in that for the time being and just kind of own it.
Yeah, for a night. But then when you wake up in the morning, you're just like, whoa, that was dark. And like, you gotta can't be doing that every day.
Yeah.
But yeah, and like that's usually like when I write lyrics and stuff like that, when I feel that kind of level of pressure or anxiety or anger or whatever, or just self-doubt, I listen to stuff like that. But other days with like if me and my girlfriend go on a great date together and stuff, the next day I'm like life is great, putting on Doobie Brothers. Doobie. or Sports.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. All right, dude. Well, I'm not going to take up your whole day. I know you got work to get back to. Again, War Remains coming out April 28th on Century Media. Hopefully you'll come back to Seattle. You guys were just here a little while ago on that Slave to the Grave tour.
Mm-hmm. I believe we'll be back there. We're on two tours that haven't been announced yet.
Okay.
And I believe we will be in the area this year again.
Right on. My final question for you, I ask everyone I chat with. A bit of an odd question, but pick a scar on your body. Show us if you can, but at least tell us the story of how you got the scar.
Well, this is going to be a scar for sure. Hold on, I got to take the band-aids off.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, this happened yesterday. I have a lot of scars on my hands because I work with my hands and
yep.
It happens. Ow, ow, ow. I hate band-aids. Ow, ow, ow. So I was redoing this shower, redoing all the plumbing, like they're getting new tile in, so I had all the space to work with all the copper piping, and oh, my hand is still shaking from it. I had cut like this square edge of plaster, and I was trying to cut the pipes and everything, and I was pulling on this one part and it wouldn't give. So I pulled really hard and it gave, and all the momentum I had, it swung back and hit that corner of rock hard plaster and just ripped all the skin off of my knuckle. And it looks super small.
It's gnarly looking though.
It took two layers of skin off. It got down to the white meat. I'll put it that part. Put it that way. Still bleeding.
Didn't go to the hospital or anything?
No, I don't go to the hospital. I think it's this one. Yeah.
Yep.
I got that from during the At the Gates tour. I staged over in Toronto and no one called me, and my elbow landed on solid concrete.
Did you get a small bone?
Yeah, it just blew out a chunk of muscle. And so I had to go to the EMT that was upstairs at the venue to get stitched up. And they're like, that's too big. Like, and we don't do stitches here. We only like give out Band-Aids. And I was like, what are you even here for?
Right.
So like, we're going to have to call the ambulance. I was like, I was in Canada. So I was like, oh, cool. That's free, right? And they're like, not for you. And I was like, well,
never mind then.
I gotta be in Montreal in like 12 hours, so that ain't happening. And they're like, you need stitches. I was like, how many stitches do I need? They said one. I was like, that's not stitches, that's stitch. Like, there's a pharmacy right across the street. Give me a laundry, write down a laundry list of things I need.
Yeah.
To like take care of it.
Ibuclens and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all the, you know, butterfly bandages to keep it closed and whatnot. And they're like, are you sure? I was like, I'm fucking positive. Like, I am not paying for an emergency, an ambulance ride and a hospital visit, because you can't give me one stitch.
One
stitch. So I'll just take care of it for however long it takes. And it took about 2 weeks to finally like chill out, but the rest of that tour, I was like wearing a sling most of the time because it hurt like a mother.
Wow.
Yeah, it was all black and bruised and it wasn't fun.
Ugh, gnarly. Well,
yeah, I got covered in them, man.
He continued on and he will continue on. We'll see him, you know, when he comes to Seattle. More tours to be announced April 28th, coming out with War Remains from Enforced. Again, Knox, thank you for taking the time, man. Get back to work. And thanks for chatting with me, man.
Absolutely. Thank you, man. Thank you for giving me the time of day. Appreciate
it. Absolutely.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!